Hey guys, you are listening to Hello Gorgeous Mama Radio. This is episode number 2. So last time I talked about 28 things about me since I recently turned 28. I also talked about 28 things I've learned in the past year and just throughout my life. So today I really want to discuss and touch more on my birth story and how it's led me to start Hello Gorgeous Mama. So here we go. My birth plan didn't go as planned. Hello Gorgeous Mama is a podcast for mamas by a mama who knows the real struggle of postpartum depression, who's ready to get on top and show you what it means to become a mom boss. And I'm ready to take this crazy journey with you if you're ready to do it with me, this one called motherhood. You are listening to Hello Gorgeous Mama. I'm your host, Britt Contreras, mompreneur, blogger, writer, founder, and now amateur podcaster. Let's get started and let's get this rolling. Okay guys, so I'm excited that, you know, today is Friday. Thank God it's Friday, TGIF. And yesterday was actually National Bump Day. So I posted a bump photo of my daughter in the belly. So it's kind of a good memory to see, you know, I enjoyed those pregnancy moments. But today we're going to talk about my birth plan didn't go according to planned, as I had said. So let me backtrack a little bit because I want you guys to understand how everything kind of fell into place, if you want to say that. You know, I do believe everything happens for a reason. Honestly, don't think that this podcast would exist, and I don't think Hello Gorgeous Mama, my brand, would exist if it weren't for my daughter. She is my inspiration and everything. So I just want to put that out there. I also want to say that it is quite possible that you can still have postpartum depression even after your daughter is a year old. I'm still going through a form of depression, so I'm just going to put that out there, that it's okay to still be on this journey, that you are still trying to get out of this disease, because essentially that's what it is. It is a disease, and men go through it as well, so it's not just for women. There's a lot of I don't think that's the right word I was looking for. I think what I'm working for is there's a lot of stereotypes and a lot of stigmas attached to the fact, excuse me, I just ate like a spicy chicken sandwich right now and it went down my throat. Anyways, as I was saying, is that there's a lot of stigmas attached to postpartum depression, and there's a lot of don't say it, don't put it out there, because if I have it, then I must be a bad mom. If I have it, then, you know, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to as a mom, that I'm guilty, that I should be feeling ashamed and have guilt and all these different emotions attached to it. But like I said before, mama, you are a beast. You are thebomb.com because you are getting through it and you're working on trying to get yourself better. That's what matters. So I'll always put a plug in there. If you seriously think that, you know, you do have some type of baby blues even or postpartum depression, I seriously advise for you to get some help, and it's not something wrong. And that's the other stigma that's attached, is people believe that if you're seeing a therapist or if you're getting help, then something must be wrong with you. People believe that if you're seeing a psychiatrist because you need to go on medication, something must be wrong with you. People believe. Stop. Please stop listening to them, because this is your life. This is how you're dealing with it. If you're getting help, then you are a mom boss. You're getting there, my queen bees. So keep on keeping on. Okay, I'm getting off track now. So what I want to say is I had planned to have my baby, and most people think that, you know, you can't plan to have a baby. Well, me and my husband literally tried and tried. We tried everything. And granted, I give power to those moms that have to go through IVF treatments and all these other in vitro, treatments, and they have to do all these other things. I did try some ovulation things to help with that, and I tracked my cycle. I tracked, when I was ovulating, and it just put so much stress on us as a couple because we were trying so hard to get pregnant that when I wasn't getting pregnant and pregnancy test after pregnancy test, I was just getting super bummed out that I wasn't pregnant. So one day I decide, you know what? I'm at work. I go into the bathroom and I happen to get a Dollar Tree pregnancy test before because I was just like, we've been trying. So of course I had some on hand. And there's this little faint pink line. And I'm just like, that looks too faint. Like, I don't know. So I tell my coworker, she knew that I was trying to get pregnant for a while. And she says, you know what? Like, it kind of looks like it might be, but I don't know. Like, actually, let me, I lie. Let me backtrack. I took a pregnancy test at home first and the night before. And it was a Dollar Tree one too, and the line was faint. Well, then when I took it at work, the line was still faint, but even more faint than the first test. So I was just like, I don't know though, you know? I don't want to get excited. I don't want to get my hopes up. So I decided that me and my coworker would go at work and, or at lunch, I mean, and we went to get a digital test that would just be clear as day. Well, I came back to work, took the digital test, and there it said 3 to 4 weeks pregnant. I was like jumping off the walls. I was trying to contain my excitement. And from that point on, no matter what went on at work, no matter who tried to get under my skin, no matter who said snippy comments or snappy little snide marks, you know, it didn't matter to me. I didn't care because I was so overjoyed that I had this baby inside that would be my little buddy, you know? So from that point on, I kind of felt like I was having a girl. I don't know why. I always wanted to have a boy first because I was like, well, older brother, he'll take care of the little sister kind of thing. Well, you know, as weeks and months passed, when I was able to find around the 22 mark, I think it was about that time that I was able to go get the ultrasound, and I went to a 3D ultrasound. Now, check with your doctor because some people advise against it, some people are okay with it. It's just kind of, you know, you don't want to overexpose your baby to too many sonograms. That's why they kind of advise against it. But if your doctor is just doing periodic ones and then you do the 3D one, then it should be okay. But again, I'm not. Don't take anything. I'm not a physician. I'm not a doctor. I'm just going from my experience. So, anyways, when I finally found out that I was having a girl, I was super ecstatic. I was just like, oh my God, I knew it. I just started crying, and my husband started tearing up, and my parents went, and his parents, my in-laws went, and it was just a really happy, exciting moment. I actually waited until I was 3 months pregnant to tell my parents. It was so hard to keep it. But again, you probably want to hear the little stories of how, I won't go into too much detail, but with my husband, I took him to dinner and I had always said, if I'm 4 weeks pregnant, then my daughter will be, or our baby will be the size of a poppy seed. So I got some poppy seeds, I put it on a lemon cake. And then I told the girl at the restaurant, you know, bring this out, say it's a complimentary dessert. So when she did, he still didn't get it. Well, I had a plan A, B, and C. He read the spoon. It said, honey, we're pregnant, after he read the card that told him to read the spoon. So that's kind of how he found out. My parents, they found out during Halloween. I got a like little Build-A-Bear, and my dad had come home from a trip. And he was like, saw the ultrasound sonogram, and It was decorated with like baby Minnie Mouse, baby Mickey, and like he was like, "No, you're not, you are," and then started crying. So that was a happy moment. My in-laws, we got like a pumpkin panada, and they broke it open. There was a bunch of pacifiers and like little like baby little booties in there, pink and blue, because we didn't know at the time if it was a girl or a boy. And his mom cried. And his brothers, or his brother from out of town, was there, and all his siblings. So that was exciting. And so I really try to make it special. Every month, I took my pregnancy photos. I was super excited. I was just overjoyed that I was having this baby. And I ate everything right. I followed to the T. I try to do everything that the book said. I read the books. I read the natural pregnancy books. And guess what, my friends? Guess what, my mamas? It didn't go to plan. So here comes the nitty-gritty. I've only shared this a couple times, and it does get difficult, and I will go in more detail. I am currently writing a book about my experience, and I'll share that at a later date. But I go into a lot more detail. I go into a lot more tips about how to get through certain things and just those moments where you just want to pull your hair. I've sat in the bathroom crying, like, what is wrong with me? I am so alone. Nobody gets me. Nobody understands what I'm going through. And I want you to know that I do understand. I do understand what it feels like to know that nobody gets you. Okay? So please just listen to this journey of mine. And I hope that you leave reviews in iTunes. Let me know on the various apps, whatever app you're listening to, what I can do to help you. Because really, I'm sharing my journey so that way I can give you guys tips, I can give you motivators, and help you through this crazy journey, motherhood. So here we go. So Mother's Day, May 14th of 2017. I thought to myself that I was going in labor because I had like a lot of what seemed to be my water breaking. My daughter's yelling at me right now. Can I tell the story? I'm gonna tell the story. You wanna listen? Some parts might be sad, but we're gonna go ahead. Stop. She says stop. Okay. These parts are happy though right now. Okay. So I thought my water broke and I went in. Turns out it was just a leak because my daughter was pressing so far. I was already dilated 3 centimeters. And when I went in, they had told me that, it was basically like they did a little test to see if this if it turned blue, and if it turned blue, that would indicate that it was water breaking. Well, it was not. It was urine. I'm sorry, but hey, we got to be real here. So, well, then she came back, and it was like I felt like a gush. And I don't know what was relieved or whatever, but it still wasn't water breaking. So that's a little embarrassing to share, but that's how raw I'm gonna get with you guys. So then the lady comes back and she's like, "Did you feel that?" And I'm like, "Feel what?" And she's all, "You just had a contraction." So I did feel a little bit better leaving that I did have some contractions. So then I enjoy my Mother's Day with my mom, and we see my mother-in-law and then my husband, and we go to eat and stuff. I have this big old belly, still no baby yet. And like a day or two later, the fifth or the next day, my back was hurting. Like the whole day, I just kept like rubbing my back, and then I was like, "Man, my back is really hurting." And then I started getting like these cramps and like, but in my back. So I'm like, is this labor or is this, something else? I didn't know. So then I decide after my husband gets home from work, because I started charting it and it was getting closer and closer and closer. And I even called my grandma and I was like, "Hey, grandma, like this is what's happening." And she's like, "Well, it could be labor, it doesn't hurt to go get it checked." So I'm like, okay. So then my husband gets home. We decide to go back to the hospital. And The lady's name was my name, Brittany, and she was a nurse in the observation room. She's very, very, very rude. And she basically said, "You know, when I come back, I'll show you the difference between real contractions and false contractions." And then she's like, "On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain level?" And I say, "I'm not sure." "On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain level?" I was thinking, bitch, you need to calm down and relax and get backtracked because you know what? Like, I'm sorry, I don't cuss much, but when I do, oh my gosh, like, you need to take a chill pill and you tell me when you're feeling contractions in your back. Anyways, well, the joke kind of was on her because my doctor did see that I was in there, and I turns out I had protein in my urine, I had high blood pressure, and I had swollen feet, which is all signs of preeclampsia. Preeclampsia, in a short like description of it, is where it's very high risk to you and your baby, so they want to get the baby out right away. Because again, it could be a risk to both of you. So, and I don't want to downplay it. Like, when I say risk, like, your life can pretty much be on the line when you are delaying it. So, of course, they wanted to induce me, and she was about to send me home, but my doctor said, "No, you need to be admitted." So, I was admitted, and I went all the way until 5 centimeters. Dilated, I got to by myself after they broke my water manually, and my doctor called me. He's like, "Hey, you know, I thought we had this conversation. You need to get the Pitocin." If anyone's had Pitocin, you know, like, it's a whole nother level of contractions. It is like contractions on steroids. Like, if you can avoid Pitocin, I would recommend, just as a suggestion, don't get it unless you really need it. Like, because, see, in my case, I had preeclampsia. I needed to get it to speed up the labor, and that's what exactly what it does, is speed up the labor, but it also intensifies your contractions. Like, I thought it was game. I thought I was fine before, and then once it got that, I was just like, "Whoa, buddy, this is contractions right here," I felt like. But yeah, so when they did that, I got that, and I just, like, I don't know the time frames and all that kind of stuff. I know I did go in like at 8:30 at night, and then I was in 13 labors of active labor, 20 total though, with the back contractions too. But you know what they consider active labor when you're actually, you know, with the water breaking and everything. So, when I got to 8 centimeters dilated, the nurse came in and she's like, "You know, I'll come back in about an hour and see if we get closer." Now, before I get there, I want to say my mom and my husband were saints. Like, without them, I don't know how I would have got through my contractions, because my husband learned how to track and monitor the contractions. And so he would tell me, "Babe, another one's coming. Another one's coming. It's gonna be a big one." It would prepare me and it would make me feel better. Okay, I can do this. My mom would help with my breathing exercises. She helped me refocus and find my focal point. At first, I was staring at the ceiling and at like some dot on, you know, the top, and I was doing the but after a while, those hees and haws start to go, you know, you can't control your breath. So, and I'm sorry for that, but that's what it sounds like. And then, you know, but my mom was getting me to go deep breaths in, deep breaths out. You know, and it helped. It really helped relax me. And so when I got to getting those breaths under control, and when a strong contraction would come and I just could not get through it almost, I would refocus and she'd help me. And so they were saints. So then when I told the nurse, "You know, no, you don't need to go. Like, my baby's coming now." She was like, "I just checked you." And I'm like, "Check again." And sure enough, she's like, give a small push. I pushed. Stop, stop, stop. Don't push no more. So I stopped pushing. And then pretty soon, here comes in the observation nurse, air quotes, because she introduced herself earlier, said, I'll just be observing. My doctor wasn't there yet. He was 20 minutes out. I was trying to freak out because he wasn't there. And all of a sudden, she tells me, and she monitors. She's like, don't push no more. And I was like, I can't help it. She's pushing. I could feel her head. She's right there. And I kept saying that she's right there. She's right there. I got to push. And she, like, was not in scrubs. She, like, snapped her fingers and was in scrubs. Like, they, like, helped her get in those scrubs, like, quick status. So here the nurse is telling the observation. I don't know what they call them. I think it's, like, a RN assistant or something like that. I don't know what the proper term. I should have probably looked it up so I could tell you guys. But the doctor assistant, I'll call her. So the nurse is telling the doctor assistant that she needs to hurry because my baby's blood pressure was dropping and mine was going up. It was elevated. And so my mom, they're like, you need to tell her she needs to push hard. So my mom's like, Britt, you really got to get her out on this last push. I pushed with all my might, so much that I broke a blood vessel in my eye. So I did push hard, and there came my daughter. I felt like I had like an 8-pound baby, seriously, but she was 6 pounds, 2 ounces, 19 inches long. They placed her on my chest, and I was like, my baby, this is my baby. I gave her a kiss, and then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. And I started hemorrhaging to the point of, you know, almost literally I was going in and out of, like I couldn't see the room. Like I was just like, my eyes were like closing. Like I felt literally like I was dying. Sorry if I get a little emotional. I always do at this point in my story. I don't talk about it very much. Just a handful of times I've talked about it to people. And when I say people, like my close family, I don't think even my extended family really know this story very much. The doctor assistant, she didn't know what to do. I remember she just was in shock. The nurse kept telling her, doctor, you need to do something. You need to do something right now. My blood pressure was still elevating and I was just bleeding out pretty much almost. And she just kind of stood there not knowing what to do. And all of a sudden, you know, my doctor, my OBGYN that I had been with for the time of my baby being in my tummy, finally got there and came in. And this wasn't a short time frame, but oh my gosh, it felt like forever. My mom looked scared. My husband's face looked scared. They remember a lot more details than I do. They tried to distract them with cutting my daughter's cord and my mom having to take pictures over there so they had at this point already taken my daughter off of me so that way, you know, because there was too much going on with myself. And my doctor was quiet for a quite long period doing what he needed to do. Then all of a sudden he was holding on to something down there, whatever, and he told the doctor assistant, what would you do? What would you have done? And she's like, I would have sent her to the emergency room. And he's like, well, why? Why would you send her to the emergency room? There's nothing they could do there. She didn't know what to do. And that's the point that scares me and terrifies me the most, is that she didn't know what to do. That I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the fact that my doctor got there when he was supposed to. He knew exactly what to do. He used it as a teaching moment to her. He knew what was going on, what was happening. And maybe it boils down to the level of experience. I don't know. But It is terrifying to know that my life was in the hands of someone who may, and it's not, I'm not saying it's her fault, you know, she probably never encountered something like this. And, you know, in essence, in a weird way, I feel relieved that maybe it was her, because maybe the next person that goes through this, she can save their life because now she'll know what to do. That's the first, you know, really first time that I've gotten through talking about this. There's a lot more details about it, and I remember thinking thoughts like, I'm not going to be here anymore, and how's my husband going to take care of my daughter without me, and I'm not going to see my daughter grow up. Those were all thoughts that appeared in my head at that moment, because I literally was just like, I felt like I was going. I wasn't going to be there no more. Wow. So this moment marked a very important point that determined that I would have postpartum depression. It is what caused my postpartum depression, because the thing I realize now is that I suffered through some type of post-traumatic stress disorder, and I want mamas to realize that that can happen to you too. Every time I think about having another baby, I get scared. I fear that this will happen again, and the 10% increase of a chance of it happening again is part of that fear. When you have another pregnancy, it could happen again, and there are no studies, there are not enough studies that indicate what the cause of preeclampsia is. There's not enough studies that indicate how you can reduce those risks. You can, of course, eat healthy and stuff like that, but there and exercise and, you know, of course, take care of yourself when your baby's in your belly. And I hate to say this part, but it doesn't really determine that you will not go through preeclampsia. And the thing is, what happened with the hemorrhaging is basically the preeclampsia caused what's called placental eruption. My placenta didn't come out naturally like it's supposed to after the baby. It's supposed to just, like, you know, you're technically delivering the placenta, and it didn't happen that way. It tore, and that's what caused the hemorrhaging. So it was very traumatic for me to the point that I wanted to have five kids before, and that quickly changed. You know, I wanted for a while to just have my daughter, and that's why I say my birth plan didn't go as planned. And I want you to know though, like, wherever your birth was that you didn't think it was gonna be, and if you haven't had your baby yet, I don't want this to scare you. I just want you to be open-minded that your birth plan might change, and that's okay, because you, as a mom, as a mama, have your instincts. You have this such a powerful instinct because you are so connected to your baby in a way that nobody can ever be connected to them. And I'm sorry, like, yeah, you know, your husband, your significant other, your partner, or your family is gonna love your baby just, you know, a lot, but you have a different bond that they will never be able to experience. It's just fact. You need to touch into that bond and not let the postpartum get you to put a space in between that post, you know, postpartum depression can affect your bond, and it affected mine. My birth experience definitely affected the way I was bonding with my child at first. I felt like everything was going wrong. I felt like breastfeeding was going to be natural. It hurt like, you know, shit. And but I pushed through it. There was a lot of things that I pushed through. There was a lot of things that I caved into changing my mindset about how I was going to do things, because again, not everything goes as planned. And your daughter or your son is going to teach you that sometimes plans just need to be thrown out the window. So I say all this to say that it's okay if you wanted to have a natural pregnancy, but you had to have a C-section instead. It's okay that if you wanted to have a natural pregnancy and you wanted to give birth at home and you had to go to the hospital instead, it's okay that you might have had things that interfered with your decisions and you had to get medications that you didn't want to get. It's okay if you wanted to get the epidural right from the start and didn't want to have to go through that pain and still things went wrong. It's okay if you had a beautiful birth experience and you still have postpartum depression. It's okay because all of our stories are different. No one size fits all. And this is just my experience to let you know that even though each one of us is going through different experiences, might be a single mom, you might have a partner that you love to death but drives you crazy, you might be, I don't know what the situation is. There's so many different scenarios, but that's what makes us beautiful as a mom because we all have unique stories. And you know what? Your story is just as unique as your baby's story is. Your baby is unique, so therefore, the next baby you have is not going to have the same story as the first baby you had. And you're just going to love the second baby and third baby and fourth baby just as much as you love the first baby. It's just all different kinds of love. So don't let things fear you, keep you from doing things. Fear is should be a motivator, not something that holds you back. Because if we let fear hold us back, we would never do anything. We would never step out of our comfort zone. We would just be a couch potato, and nobody wants to be a stinking couch potato where your cushion is dropping to the floor because you've been sitting in it for so long. So, like I've said before, you have to get comfortable, you have to get uncomfortable. Okay? If it doesn't challenge you, it doesn't change you, mamas. Be strong. Believe in yourself. This is one part of my journey. I will seriously go back into more stuff that is just raw and just like crappy, shit that we never want to talk about, but we got to talk about because it's mom unfiltered. It's what makes us raw and real. It's what makes us human. We are human beings. We are okay to feel. We are okay to be sad. We're okay to not know why the hell we're crying again and again and again. But it just happens. It's part of life. But, yes, I'm going to say but again, is that you need to know you will get through it. All right? So this has been a half an hour podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. If you loved it, if you hated it, whatever, just leave a review. I'm trying to work on my podcast so they get better and better and better and give you content that is just powerful. That sends a message that I will be real with you. I will let you know my story, and I hope it helps you, even if it's just one person. That's all you can do, one person at a time. And moms, you are powerful. You are unbelievable. You gave birth to a baby, to a freaking baby that came out of there. Yes, it came out of a little hole. So I'm sorry to get graphic, but again, give yourself props. This is powerful, powerful shit. And you just need to know that you can be real and raw. And I'm tired of being filtered, so I'm not being filtered. I'm being the real mom. And I'm gonna tune off because I'm ranting. And my daughter's ready to eat some chicken nuggets. Yeah, I didn't give her healthy stuff. Who cares? It happens. All right, love you guys. And again, you can follow me on Hello Gorgeous Mama on Instagram. I also have a HelloGorgeousMama.com page that is in the works, so I will soon be posting blogs. I'm trying to get more and more time to myself to do these things for you guys. I am in the car literally going to Target to return something, so this can be done. And yeah, just. I have a Facebook page too, so I would love the love. I hope you enjoyed this again and have a good, happy Friday. Bye.